let's pick up where we were. So what we're trying to do here was analyze like several cases that would test whether or not the bigger issue in Yibum or in the preclusion of Yibum, cases where Yibum doesn't really apply, and was a Ptur Tzara as well as a Ptur, you know, for the parties involved, whether that is something that is dependent upon the actual bigger relationship question, meaning there's an erva, it's not an appropriate marriage, or Yibum, and in that respect, Yibum may even be more sensitive than regular ishus, to be subject to a higher standard, even as ironically, it's and maybe because, albeit ironically, but understandably, because it's such a rule breaker. In other words, because we're so makil for the Isur Eish HaSach, and we, promote this idea of Kiyeshvu Achim Yachtav of Yibum, but because of that, as we've seen again and again, while that's a tremendous kula, it also, for that very reason, called overcompensation, but it isn't really. It's really, a very logical, perspective. And if you want to transform this into an Ishus Shel Kedusha, so the sensitivity to certain obstacles might be greater, even as, what we're trying to accomplish is something, that is very revolutionary, given the nature of the Isur Eish HaSach. So that's kind of what we are at. And in that light, we've been examining, about five or six different cases that come up in the first parak in particular that highlight this. So we did a session on a couple sessions on Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the person who believes that Chai de Lavin. Welcome. Or we'll say welcome back. That Chai de Lavin are also not subject to Tfisas Kiddushin. That a relationship of Chai de Lavin produces a mamzer. By extension, Rabbi Akiva seems to be of the belief that if there is Chai de Lavin, then there will be no Yibum and no Chalitza. And according to Tosas on Yod Amud Aleph, also a Ptur of Tzaras, Chai de Lavin, and so on. There's things that we discussed extensively. And the question is, why is that? On the one hand, good, he raises, the bar in terms of, what is an appropriate marriage that is nitzvas b'kiddushin, and so on. But at the same time, we do have a rule of ase dochalos ase, and even if it's true that ein ase dochalos ase sheish pakares, even Rabbi Akiva, even with his more harsh, let's say, view of the relationship of Chai de Lavin, even with that, he holds ase dochalos ase, all things being equal. So why wouldn't he just say that the ase of Yibum is docha, the lav of whatever it is, etc. But he doesn't. There's evidence, all over the Masechta that according to Rabbi Akiva, Chai de Lavin are excluded from Yibum, from Chalitza, and as I say, according to Bali Tosas, there's maybe even a Ptur Tzara. So that was question number, that was one question that highlighted this issue, because, there you might have a situation, again, there are its own complexities, each case is interesting in its own right, but the point is that, if you're looking at this very narrowly in terms of a heter for the maisabia, it's to accomplish the act of Yibum as a mitzvah and as a kinyan, then this is a very excellent question, because Rabbi Akiva doesn't deny ase dochalos ase. So, given the mitzvah and given, the more limited iser involved, all things being equal, there should be a heter yibum and therefore a mitzvah and a kiyum, yibum. If you're looking at this, and that's why I think the Bali Tosas were more open to this question than some of the other Rishonim. Call me a Devaro. Okay. So, because Balitosis have this orientation that it's mostly about the heter of the maisabia, the urgency of doing the yibum. They're dechuya people, another big topic that we discussed. And therefore it's more, I think, more inclined to be looking at the problem, you know, in a more pragmatic way, namely a clash between two, you know, urgencies, the urgency of yibum, you know, which is what makes it dechuya. It overrides other Isurim, and the, you know, and how that stacks up against the obstacle, whatever it is. So, you know, if you look at it from the perspective of the Hector, the Maisa, Bia, Shel Yibum, you know, this is a very strong question. On the other hand, if you're looking for, you know, if you're looking from the perspective of, like, are these candidates, you know, to build a bias Naaman v'Yisrael under the, you know, rubric of the Kedushas Ishus of Yibum. So the very fact, you know, that there is typically Mamzerus and Notvisas Kedushin and so on, you know, is something that is probably incompatible with. So again, what you have to figure out is, like, you know, how do we know that Rabbi Akiva doesn't just think everything? That's where the Tosa Rosh and Ramban and others struggle. But that was topic number one, or one of the topics that highlighted this. Then we spent quite a, you know, few shiurim also on Tosas on Daf Yud Amud Aleph and the Kol HaMista'eif, as they say, and that is the question of Eish Es Ish. Like, what if you have, you know, again, a strange case, because obviously every case of Yibum is a case not of Eish Es Ish, but of an Almana, right? Eish Es Hameis. However, you know, with a little bit of halachic ingenuity, there can be at least one, if not more than one, cases of, you know, Eishes Hameis, even in Yibum. So again, what Tosas and Yerushalmi earlier were talking about is, well, what happens if, you know, a woman is married, she gets divorced. Let's say the divorce is a complicated divorce, one which, right, excludes, you know, Ploni. You know, you can get married to anybody in the world except for Ploni. She goes ahead and she marries Ploni's brother because he's the only person left. Mm-hmm. Not really, but I'm joking. But because there's no problem. Then, of course, Ploni's brother, you know, in this kind of a world dies. And she's a Yibum candidate to Ploni. And so, therefore, and the obstacle is the Isur of Eishes Ish. So that's another issue. Very, very long Tosas that we discussed in Yerushalmi and the Ramban and so on. And again, the pattern was that the Bali Tosas take it very, very seriously. They really work tremendously hard in order to justify why Eish Es Ish, you know, is not a problem, you know, for, it is a problem for the actual Yibum, let me make it clear. But it's not a mafkia, the Zika, so that there's no Chalitza or that there's a Tsaras, you know, Erva. And they, you know, work very hard for them. It's actually Judaism Tosa. One Vanvu Tosa says, yeah, you're right, it really is. And that's quite shocking. On the other hand, the Ramban, Udi'ine, you know, kind of dismissed the question on technical grounds, you know, in terms of the Mishnah, but even in a bigger way, like, you know, you don't get the same sense of, you know, hard work, you know, on this problem. I mean, the Ramban and the Rajbag, you know, their level of effort, you know, doesn't need my haskama. But what I'm saying is that this particular issue, you know, didn't demand all of their, you know, focus and mental energy. They thought this was a pretty easy one. You know, this was like a soft, you know, what is it, pitch right down, you know, the middle of the plate, you know, since we're in that part of the year. So, you know, it was basically that she's not an Eish Es Ish. You know, there's a technical tznai, you know, which will be triggered and which, you know, if they were to go ahead and do Yibum, she would be an Eish Es Ish. For that matter, she wouldn't be a Yibama either because she would be an Eish Es Ish from before she married Ploni's brother, right? So she wouldn't be anything, really. But the point is that as a candidate, since we're not talking about Yibum between this woman and the brother, you know, everybody agrees you can't do that for technical reasons at minimum. We're talking about, you know, what about, you know, chalitza, and what about tzaros? So the Ramban and the Rajba and the others say, like, you know, no big deal. It's like, you know, it's an artificial problem, and therefore it impedes the actual union of these two people, but it's not comparable to Erva the Mishnah. So once again, I think the pattern is clear in terms of the Bali Tosis being like really focused not so much on the candidates and how proper they are, you know, to, you know, make up this marriage, but the you know, the actual circumstances of the Maisa Bia, the Heter Bia, the Kinyan Bia, the Mitzvah, and so on. So that the third case, which we're going to begin, which I'm going to speak about tonight, and then I'll try to speak about Sota and Maksu Kushasa, and then we'll go from there to talk a little more about Chalitza, is actually Tosis on Beis Amud Aleph, that we had made reference to also, and that is with regard to Nida. So, some of the Rishonim have it on Daf Tes, the Tosis of Ready Parents, which I'll read for you in a minute, but this Tosis has it on, our Tosis has it on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, and the Ravan actually speaks about it at the very end of the Masechta, Kuf Yud Aleph. So what is the problem? So again, let's go right into the Tosis and we'll see what the problem is. And then again, I think this is another example of, you know, where you can isolate, you know, these two factors from each other. Just to make it clear, all the ervas, the chamisha esrei, sorry, nashim, potos torosem, tzoros losem, and achalitza v'yibam, and so for olam of the Mishnah, all of them have both of these components, meaning they're all have the impediment that if you were to go ahead and do the act of yibam, that would be chayvei krisus or worse, right? Plus the gavra, you know, is in all cases somebody who is inappropriate, unfit, you know, for this kind of, and I would say a gavra shel erva, basically. The cases that we're trying to, employ in order to isolate the factors are trying to basically isolate these two things from each other, where the Maisa Bia would be a Maisa Shochi of Nisa Kares, there'd be no justification of Ase Dochalos Ase, etc. But at the same time, where objectively, when you look at the candidacy of these women, right, there's nothing objective that qualifies them, you know, in a comparable way to the 15 Ervas of the Mishnah. So the Bali Tosis asks the question about Nida, which is quite a kind of a startling question. So what are the case is as follows. Let's say the woman is something very, ubiquitous. It certainly can happen a lot. Let's say at the time when her husband, you know, well, let's assume he wasn't, they weren't 90 and 89. But we're talking about a husband or a union or a wife, it's more important, who was younger, and she's still a Roa Nida. So she was a Nida at the time that her husband died. And she was, at that point, Nofeles, Le'yibum, you know, to the Zika, you know, with the brothers. Let's say at that time, she happened to be an Isha Nida. Again, who would have thought of this, that would be an issue or a problem? Like, why would that be a problem? And, you know, our initial, you know, reaction that it's not a problem, it shouldn't be a problem, comes from several things, right? Primarily, it comes from the, you know, the instinct that this is a timing question, not a fundamental. The 15 cases of the Mishnah are personalities or, you know, people are relationships, basically. They're prohibited relationships. There's an element of you know, too much kurva, whatever it is, incestuous, you know, kind of a relationship, in some cases directly through blood, in other cases, you know, through the nature of the, you know, relationship that they have with Krovin, right, Kalasso, Chamasso, you know, and even Eishes Ish, which we discovered, is a relationship problem. It's just not, you know, per se, not an incestuous one. It's a you know, a more objective, you know, she's already married, so, you know, Asar Kulamuk, you know, Kehekdesh one. But okay, But NIDA, on the surface, you know, why is that even, why are we even talking about that, frankly? But the reason that we are talking about it is because even though NIDA is not a relationship problem, it is a kares problem. Or we can say it this way. Number one, the violation of NIDA is a problem of kares. So obviously for her to be misyabenes while she was in NIDA would be a problem of ase doche los ase sheish bakares. That's where this kind of comes from. The question is that enough? In the parsha that we just read, Parshas Achrimos, and in the parsha that we will read, you know, next week, Parshas Kedoshim, these are the parshios with, you know, the lists of erva. Do we have a chumash here?
Mm-hmm. Right
from your childhood. Oh, wow, J.H. Hertz, the old Hertz chumash. I appreciate that. I'm just trying to see when it was donated. In memory, I don't know. Rochelle and Asher Abramowitz. Mm-hmm. Ring a bell? Before your time. That's got to be at least, that's got to date it, right?
This show wasn't around when that was the mainstay of all these shows.
What?
I said this show wasn't around when
that was the mainstay. Oh, you're saying it was an inherited thing.
Well.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm assuming.
Oh, 1990. It was reading second edition. Okay. Anyways. Okay. It is like, yeah. It's like you have to get those Paltiel Birnbaum.
Rosh Hashanah,
The Sidurim.
Yeah,
Philip Birnbaum. I always like calling him Paltiel, actually. But okay. So the nostalgia aside, so in Parshas Achrimos, the Parsha that we just read, has the main Parsha of Arayos. And again, I don't want to go through the whole thing because that would take too long. But it's, you know, I'm sure everybody did in Parshas HaShavua. But it's very, the order and the language, of course, is really very interesting. Right? And also the small differences, and this is just for food for thought because I'm not going to be able to do it. But again, this coming week, Parshas Kedoshim has another list of Arayos. And there are some subtle differences, both in how it's introduced, how it ends, some of the order. Anyways, Parshas Achrimos, the Parsha of Arayos, Vaydabar Shema Moshe Lemar, Daber B'nei Sova Marta Lehem, Ani Hashem Elokechem, Kimasei Eretz Mitzrayim, Asher Yishavtem Ba, Lo Sa'asu, Kimasei Eretz Kenan, Asher Ani Mevi Eschem Shema, Lo Sa'asu. This is where you have the famous Pasuk, with, you know, which has so much meaning and significance, Ubechuko Sehem, Lo Telechu. So this is like a parsha, you know, which is spotlighting Kedushas Yisrael, you know, from beginning to end. Again, I don't want to say too much about that. I don't want to get too far afield, but just, you know, you have to say something here, right? So the contrast to Maase Eretz Mitzrayim and Maase Eretz Canaan, I mean, where you're coming from, you know, and where you're going to, you know, right now they're in the Midbar, you know. So, you know, where you've been and where you're going to in the, you know, spiritual dangers that lurk there. So that's where you get it, B'chukosei Ablos Aleichu, which, you know, again, what does that include? That's a topic in its own right. But everybody can understand that a B'chukosei Ablos Aleichu is like the, you know, poster lab, you know, for the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael and the dangers of acculturation, of living in a non-Jewish world. You know, all of us, you know, can identify, certainly, in terms of, you know, the crazy values sometimes, the corrupt values that you encounter. You know, what's it going to be? U'shmartem es chukosai v'es mishpatai asher yaseh osam ha'adam v'chai bahem. This is the pasuk. So you have, you know, b'chukoseim lo selechu, you have the contrast to Maaseh Eretz Mitzrayim, Maaseh Eretz Canaan. And then to top it off, this is V'chai Bohem Ani Hashem. V'chai Bohem, of course, is the makar for, you know, for Pikuach Nefesh being Doche. V'chai Bohem V'lo Shiyomis Mitzvah. So what is V'chai Bohem about? Quality of life from a Jewish, from a halachic perspective. Quality of life that makes life, you know, worth living and even sacrificing certain mitzvos for, but ad kan, not gili arayos and not shvichas damim and not avodah zarah, right, and not shas hashmad and not befarhesia. So this is like just the introduction itself. Again, we, you know, we're in shul and we hear it, and Val Kori does a great job, but you know, it's just every word here is just jumping off the page. So then what comes next? What's it going to be? You don't have a hint yet as like, what is this Maaser Eretz Mitzrayim and Maaser Eretz Canaan, and what's this Bechuk Oseim and Bechai Bahem? Like, what is it? So it's the Parsha of Erba. This is the Parsha that we read. I've mentioned this in the past, but it's worth repeating. On the Mincha, you know, on Erev Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur. Not Erev Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. You know, Yom Kippur in the morning, the Kriya is, of course, you know, again, also from, you know, Achrimos, the Avoda, understandably. That's the focal point of the day. But why, you know, this is the question that, you know, the Rishonim already asked the Bali Tosa, why are we reading the Parsha of Arayos from Achrimos, you know, in the afternoon? So my answer is, as I've said, I think, in the beginning of the year, is that, because the principle of Arayos, something that differentiates Jews and non-Jews, it differentiates Maaser Eretz Canaan and Maaser Eretz Mitzrayim, V'chukosei Mot Aleichu, and V'chai Bohem, that's something that you want to focus on Yom Kippur, the most Kulol Hashem, you know, distinctive, you know, in terms of destiny of Jews and non-Jews, day of the year. So anyways, so what is it going to be? Ish el kol she'er b'saro lo sikervu legalos erva an yashem. This is the parsha of Arayos. And then it's erva sabicha v'erva simecha lo segale imcha hi lo segale erva seisha sabicha lo segale erva sabicha hi erva sachos chabas sabicha basimecha. You have to look very carefully at each case. Like, you know, is it a direct erva? Is it an erva through the karov? The karov is a mitzaref, and therefore it's direct to you. I mentioned earlier in the year, just give me one more second, I'll get back to you. Ervas baspitcha, baspitcha. I remember I mentioned the question of kaloso, or eshes aviv, right? You have all these are hinted at very much in the presentation of the Torah. Ervas kalos chalos segala, I mentioned earlier in the year. Eshes binchahi lo segala ervasa, that's the diuk. Meaning here it says two things. Number one, she's your kala, she's your, not bride, but your daughter-in-law, which is also what we talked about, right? The use of the term chasam and kala. Eshes bin chayid are two dinim, you know, in kalaso. Number one, it's an affront to your son. Number two, it's a direct relationship that it becomes kind of incestuous in its own right. Anyways, before I get to my point, they basically, then you have, you know, then this, after the more direct blood or through blood relationships, then you have, you know, more the, like your wife, relationships through marriage. So it's ervas isha ubita lo segala, meaning your wife's mother, your wife's daughter, es bas bina, es bas pita, lo tikach legalos ervas ashara hino zimahi. That's like on the next level. Not people who are related directly to you, that's one level. Not people who are like the wives of people who are blood relatives of yours, but relatives of your wife. And included in that is isha elachosa lo tikach, right, the other sister-in-law, as I call her, meaning the wife's sister, achos ishto, which, as we know, plays this outsized role in dinei yibum because of these words, litzror. Hopefully everybody heard this in Kriyas HaTorah, like they were, like, excited. Litzror legalos arvasa aleha b'chayeha, right? So that's what the Gemara is darshaning in the beginning of Yevamos for the, you know, for tsaros, and for you know, for the Isser, for erva, you know, this is the pasuk, the other sister-in-law. So then, only after all of that comes the al isha benidas tumasa, right? Lo sikrav. The language is already a little different, right? legalo servasa. Then comes eshes ish, which also is different because, again, it's not a relationship issue. It's more of a, you know, she's already spoken for. El eshes avisecha lo titein shchoftecha lezera, right, lezara, sorry, letama va. And then you have zaracha lo titein lahavir lemolech. That's strange, that sticks out here. But the relationship between Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayos is a fascinating chapter in its own right. That's kind of hinted at here. And that's the beginning of the Parsha in Kedoshim too. And then comes Ezachar lo tishkab mishkav isha to evahi. Right, then comes mishkav Zachar. And called the Hema lo titein shkav t'chal t'amava. So there's a very clear order, and then it's al t'tamu b'chal eile, ki b'chal eile nitmu ha-goyim asher ani m'shaleach mipnechem, v'titma ha-aretz v'efkod avona aleh v'taki ha-aretz esher shvel. It's very powerful language, meaning Eretz Yisrael, you know, which is your next stop, cannot tolerate, you know, this kind of immorality. Like a land can't tolerate, you know, but that's what it is. But titma haaretz va'efkod avona aleha of the land, but taki haaretz, that's right, the land will spit out, it will reject, because it the land itself, kedusha haaretz, finds intolerable, right, this kind of abuse of kedusha. And again, repeated, be careful, that's how you know there's kares at least in everything. So this is the parsha of that's how the parsha ends. This is the parsha of right. Then in Kedoshim, I'm not going to go through the whole one there. You also have Nida, and you also have Eshes Ish, and you also have these other things in a slightly different way. It's interesting what it's almost like the parsha of Arayos and Achrimos is, you know, practically exclusively about that. It's Kedusha from the perspective of Erva. And in Kedoshim Tiyu, it's like as an application of a broader idea of Kedusha. And I think that explains some of the discrepancies. Either way, as you can see, there's an order, and some of the Mefarshim discuss it, and part of this order, you know, separates, on the one hand, Nida's included in the Parsha of Erva. That's a Chiddush, because it's not like the other cases, right? The ones that are incestuous and the levels of that, you know, that's obviously what dominates, you know, the list, you know, Erva. Even Eshes Ish, which, as they say, is still a partner, you know, who is prohibited. And then you have Zachar and Behema, that's just, you know, halachically, you know, considered to be completely abnormal and unacceptable. The Nida kind of stands out, because Nida is a biological fact, and it's related to, you know, reproduction and so on and so forth. And, you know, it's a timing factor, you know, in the Isurei Bia. Nothing to do with the, you know, propriety of the partners, you know, per se, obviously. Like, if you were to try to think of, you know, Nida, you know, as in the way that Tosas asks the question, they ask him the question. Tosas saying, how come Nida is not in the Mishnah? Right? By implication, they're also saying, and how come there's no Petur of Tzaras Nida? Petur of Tzaras Nida? I mean, what? So again, we have two perspectives on Tzara. You know, according to one of them, oh, any case where Lemaisa, Befoal, you know, you can't implement Ibum, there's Eshesach. And once it's Eshesach, that's an Erva. Okay, that could work with Nida too. Stretching it a little bit in the sense that, because it's not Mufka and it'll come back, so we need another element which we'll get to in just a second. But if you take the perspective which we, you know, tried to demonstrate is already a discussion in the Gemara many places, and then it's a discussion in the Rishonim, which is the dominant one. Namely that there's like a chalos of Tzaras Erva, meaning, you know, somebody who, it's like an extension, legabe yibum, of korvav, incestuousness. It's like, you know, you can't, Duyibum with your daughter's co-wife. You know, you can't get those words out. It's hard to get them out about Eish HaSheesh, but it's even harder, you know, or it's impossible to get it out putting it about Nida. Like when I say, oh, you know, you're going to be miyavim, you know, the Tsaras Nida here. You know, she's the co-wife of Anida. That doesn't make any sense, right? So on the one hand, so what I'm trying to suggest is, you don't find this question in the Ramban, as far as I know. Like the Ramban doesn't ask this question, how come Nida, you know, is not one of the 15 V.A. Shlomar, right? But in Balitosis, you find it, and they really take it seriously. They work very hard. So I think, once again, this is because for the Balitosis, the issue isn't so much in the Erevas or primarily about, you know, the quality of the relationship and the union. It's about Ein Aseh Docha Lo Saseh Sheyesh Bakares. So as far as that is concerned, that applies to Nida too. Because she isn't Parshas Arayos, and she is, you know, a Onesh Kares. The din of Ein Aseh Docha Lo Saseh Sheyesh Bakares certainly applies in the case of Nida. So I think that's why Balitosis took it so seriously. But even with taking it seriously, in the end of the day, really? I mean, Tsaras Nida, Ptur Chalitza, you know, when all you have to do is wait, you know, a few weeks, hard to explain. So actually, in my opinion, the Tosis Rebbeinu Peretz, the first Deya, not only takes it seriously, the question, but really thinks, according to his first Deya, that it's actually true. Because his focus is simply on why we don't count it in the Mishnah, not, you know, why it isn't true. Now, does it see? I'll read this to you in a second. First, I have to get to Ari's question. But in other words, some Rishonim ask this question, like, how come this isn't in the Mishnah? Other Rishonim ask the question, you know, how come, you know, this isn't an example of Ptur Tzara and Hafkas Chalitza? Okay? If you ask the question the second way and you give an answer, you know, so then you're basically saying, you know, notwithstanding the question, but it isn't. If you ask the question the first way, like, why isn't this in the Mishnah, right, then it's possible that your explanation only explains why it isn't in the Mishnah, but it still might be true. And that's what emerges from Rebbeinu Peretz, and that's very radical. The idea that there would be a hafka of Nida, you know, per se, and not only that, but hafka from Yibum, from Chalitza, and a Ptur Tzara, because it's Chayvei Krisus temporarily, is very, that's the assumption of the question. But the idea that that would be true, Lamaskana, is very radical, but I believe that that is what Rebbeinu Peretz holds. But before I get to that, first I want to get to Tosas, then I'll show you what I think in Rebbeinu Peretz. But first, Ari had a question before.
Not to get too offside, but Rebbe mentioned that, you mentioned Arias and Yom Kippur because it highlights the differences between Kaddishah
and Kedushas Yisrael, I think, is also is particularly an aspect of Kedushas Yisrael,
right,
that touches on, you know, the greater aspiration of what I call Kul Lachem, Kul Hashem, sorry, through Lachem, meaning the ability, you know, to have like a marital, you know, dimension, you know, in life. You know, and yet for that to be governed, you know, in a very strict way, so that it's a davrish of kedusha, which includes a nida part, certainly. I think that is very relevant, you know, to the aspiration of Yom Kippur. But that's not what the Rishonim say.
Right. The Arayos, Arayos are one of the showing this is bad enough. Now, obviously, there's
right. So I think it's the difference.
Right.
I think we read the parsha of Arayos. That's correct. But the Arayos that are for Bnei Noach are very core and basic.
Right.
You know, and this expansion in Parshas Acharimos, which highlights, you know, number one, you know, that we're not just, you know, Again, the more sensitive and higher standard, it's like, you know, a little bit similar to, but Lashitasi, I guess, you know, the way I understand the Rambam, you know, view of the mitzvah of Kiddushin and Birchas Eirusin, you know, Vitzivanu ala rayos, right, we also say that, right? V'asa lanu sarusos v'hitu lanu sarnesuos, ayidei chupa v'kiddushin. But starting with Vitzivanu ala rayos, meaning it's an impressive thing, not a, you know, the expanded list of it says two things. Number one, that it's not just like, you know, the most egregious, you know, incestuous things that we exclude, right? It's, you know, the expanded list shows that we're aspiring to Kedusha not just to avoid, you know, some sort of a, you know, obvious moral crime. That's A. B, as I said about, you know, the beginning of Yevamos, or Yevamos being the beginning of Seder Noshim as well, and that is the very fact that you have this expanded list, in addition to showing higher sensitivity and higher aspiration, also underscores the power of the family and why it is a unit of Kedusha, you know, that is so critical. Meaning, if I didn't have the kind of relationship that I'm supposed to have, if I didn't, you know, I wasn't obligated to cultivate the kind of relationship I'm supposed to have with my father and my mother and my wife and my brother, right? You know, and somebody else's, you know, a member of Klal Yisrael, for talking about Ish, right? Then there wouldn't be the infrastructure, you know, for this expanded erva either. You know, if I could say that Kalosso is both Kalosso and Ashes Haben, in addition to that being important, you know, legally, right, there's also a, you know, a hashkafic or philosophic, whatever you want to call it, you know, element to it as well, right? What I'm really saying is, you know, that, you know, I didn't just marry this woman. I you know, all, we merged our families, you know, in a very significant way. And that creates, you know, some direct, you know, kurva, even where there's no blood, just like Yibum reflects, you know, that even Achar Misa, there continues to be family relationships, you know, and so on. So I think all those aspects are, you know, make Parshas Araya, like the Rishonim, when they talk about this Yom Kippur question, they mostly say things like, ah, like everybody's in shul, and, you know, and you know, people are dressed very, you know, in their fanciest, you know, yontif clothes. So you just want to remind people, you know, that some of the Bible say that. So, you know, for sure, I'm sure that's also an aspect. I'm suggesting something, you know, obviously more, you know, I like to think more aspirational. But yeah, did I answer you or?
I mean, essentially, it's a.
So what I'm saying is, it's the distinction between
the fact that Arayos, more than any other parsha, highlight unique differences in their application and loftier goals, which in some ways, I don't know if everybody's saying, but it also speaks to the loftiness of the day. The day is elevated beyond. It's a Shabbat Shabbaton, for a while. So in a Shabbat Shabbaton type of atmosphere, we don't just take a mitzvah that's different, like Shabbos or even Nevela would be a good. We've talked about.
Take something Gafka, which is common, but where the difference is within it. And this is something I've said again, you know, before. That doesn't make it correct, but at least it makes me consistent. Yeah. And that is that, meaning the thing about Bnei Noach is that, you know, when you analyze like relationship between Dinei Yisrael and Dinei Bnei Noach, you know, it's Dafka, and you would think that there would be less of a gap because that's the whole point, that, you know, there are these seven areas where even we, Jews, in other words, Jewish law recognizes that there needs to be secular law or religious law for all, you know, human beings. You know, so that's a huge overlap, whether it's in Dinim or Arayos or, you know, Shem Hashem or... But what I always try to emphasize is that is true, and at the same time, Dafka, where you have the overlap, you know, if you put in the effort, the investment to understand it, you have even more of a, you know, of an indication of the differences. Right. So whether it's Abram and Achai or Dinim, or in this case Gilead Arayos. So yes, there is an overlap, and then wow, you know, it's not just like, oh, a little more, you know, a little less. There are qualitative differences, even though we're acknowledging that this is like a basic category and that it has to apply to everyone. So then the additional nuances of Kedush HaSisrael, which are often not small, they can be subtle, you know, but they're colossal. You know, they emerge, and I think that's very much what Yom Kippur knows about. Yeah.
Yeah, also I just don't want to get too far off, but I remember we quoted earlier in the year an interesting Ramban that said that Achos Ishto in the Mishnah is like earlier in the Mishnah because, and it's grouped with cases of like higher severity because
he chose.
A person's closer to like their Achos Ishto than they are to their.
By signing up with her, he's like voluntarily signing up with her.
But in the Pesukim, right, Achos Ishto comes like
later. Yeah.
So,
no, because I think it's true. It's both of right. So it's a great point, but again, I think it's a point that highlights that you know, you have to make some choices, and that there can be opposite things, you know, about some categories that are both true. So, for example, relative to, you know, a more blood, let's say, incestuous relationships. You know, on the one hand, you chose this one, that's what the Ramban is saying, and therefore, you know, in a way, you're more responsible for it, and you have to, you know, you chose it, and therefore there's a greater kurva, because, you know, it's not just you were born into it, nabach, you know. On the other hand, you know, it's not a blood relation. It's like the mashal ma'ad avardoma to the marital relationship itself, in a way. You know, which is the closest relationship, on the one hand, right? Baal ki ishto, ishto ki baal, etc. But it's also, you know, the most artificial, and therefore it can be ended with a get, or in some cases misa, right? And there are, you know, some aspects that it is the closest, and other aspects where it's totally not. So, you know, I think the phenomenon that you're pointing to, you know, is correct. What you're saying is another way of saying also, like, oh, if the order of the Mishnah is different than the order of the Parsha Arayos, like, why would that be?
Yeah.
So there could be other explanations, pragmatic ones, for sure. What I would say is, you know, because there are, and this is an example, some complex interrelationships here. Yeah. Anyways, getting back to Nida because we don't want to go too over time. Yeah, we're so far so okay. So again, let's get back to Tosis itself. So Tosis says, "An Eila Hakshas to Nida Tiyasa Liyavam." This is Tosis on Beis Amud Aleph. They also have it in the Maamar Komos. Afalpi Shemitahara Achakach. I mean, Tosis understood even when they were asking the question that, you know, like, what are you even talking about? Just, you know, this is a matter of timing. Wait, she'll go to the mikvah. You know, she'll stop being ro adam. She'll go to the mikvah. And, you know, and then there will be a problem for Yibum or anything else. Kimo, but nonetheless, even though she's mitara, it should still be a problem. Kimo achos ishto. Just like, you know, his wife's sister is a problem, as we'll explain in a minute. She'ein misyavemes afilu mesa ishto achrechein. What does that mean? So what that means is as follows. As we know about achos ishto, right? Which again, also part of the irony in all these things, like, because it has one tremendous kula, and that is you can marry achos ishto lachar misas ishto, which isn't true about most of the other arayos. It's not true about, you know, eshes aviv or chamiv or Bas Ishto, but it is true about Achos Ishto, right? Even though, again, as I said, it played this outsized role, and maybe the Ramban's idea, the one that you just mentioned, you know, Ellie is part of it. But the point is, so the interesting is to compare it to that. The reason I want to compare it to Achos Ishto, because Litzror, Aleha, you know, that might be the mukar for all this stuff. So what are they talking about? So since there's this tremendous kula that if the wife, sister, if the wife dies, that he can then marry her sister, right? So what would happen in the following, you know, scenario? Let's say, the man dies, two brothers are married to two sisters, right? And, you know, Reuven and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah, let's say. And Reuven dies, you know, so now Rachel is a Yibum candidate for Shimon, except that Shimon is married to sister Leah. They don't call her sister Leah, you know, but, you know, the sister of Rachel, whose name is Leah, right? So, so there's no Yibum. That's one of the, that's Achos Ishto. That's the case. That's the paradigm case, practically. Right, that's one of the 15 eruvos of the Mishnah. Oh, but what happens if, you know, Leah subsequently dies? Shimon's wife Leah, the sister of Rachel, dies. So now he could marry Rachel from the perspective of Achos Ishto, and she's a Yibum candidate because Reuven, his brother, her first husband, you know, died. Right? So what happens then? If he's permitted to marry Achos Ishto, then that shouldn't be an impediment for Yibum. So for example, let's say it happened in the following order. Let's say Reuven and Shimon married two sisters. Right? Reuven married Rachel, Shimon married Leah. And let's say Leah died, right, before Reuven died, instead of the opposite. So if Leah died and then Reuven died, Shimon could be miyabim Rachel, correct? But if it's the opposite, so that's the Mishnah, the Mishnah, the Gemara, and Daf Chabches, and Daf Lamed. Just look for Daf Lamed for just a second. That's called Nasra. Nasra means that if at the time of the beginning of the Zika, or the Nefila, whatever you want to call it, the Chiyuv Yibum, she was off limits, then even if that subsequently changed, right? So, for example, had the order been different, it wouldn't have been a problem, but the order happened this way, meaning Reuven died before Leah died. So if that's the case, since Rachel, when Leah was alive, was Nesra al Shimon Sha'achas, after Reuven died, right? So that there's no tikkun for that. That's Nesra Olav Olava. So that one example of that is this Mishnah, Ad Lamed Omen Aleph, really also the Gemara in Chavcha. Shlosha Achim, you have three brothers, Shnayim Mehem Nesuim Shnei Achios. Two of the brothers are married to sisters. That's Reuven and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah. And then there's a third brother, Levi. It's a little bit of a complicated case. Levi's married to Plonis. Okay? So, Echad Nasui Nachris. The Nachris here doesn't mean a non-Jew, Chalila. It means a non-sister. Right? So, Nes Echad Mibale Achios. If Reuven dies, Vikines Nasui Nachris Esishto. At that point, if Reuven dies, let's say, so only Levi could do Yibum with Rachel, right? Because he's not married to any sisters. You know, he's married to Plonis, right? So Levi does Yibum with Rachel, right? Umesa Ishta Sholcheni. Then Leah, Shimon's wife, the sister of Rachel, dies. Then Achakach is more than death here. Mes Nasui Nachris. Levi dies. Okay, so Reuven died, then after the Yibum of Rachel, right, Leah died. I'm sorry, Reuven died, Leah died, right, and then Shimon died. No, I'm sorry, Levi died. Got it. Okay, so now Shimon is facing Rachel as a Yibum candidate, but she was already excluded to him through the Yibum of Reuven, right? So it's even one step removed. Nonetheless, the Mishnah says, Harezu Asura Olav Olamis. She is forever, you know, excluded, forbidden to him, excluded as a Yibam partner. Ho Venestra Olav Sha'achas. Because once she is excluded for, you know, Sha'achas, right, then that doesn't change. Even though it's even from a different Nefilah. Right, you could have thought that even if the case I mentioned to you before, which is a simpler case, that's what they talk about in Chofkas, which is that Reuben and Shimon are only two brothers. They're married to two sisters, right? Reuben dies, then Leah dies, but, you know, nothing happened in the meantime. You know, meaning, you know, she was simply, Rachel was Omedes, she was Bezika, and nothing happened. Right, that would be a simpler case. It doesn't make a difference. The principle is the principle of Nesra, and that principle is stated clearly with regard to Achos Ishto. So what Bali Tosis want to say on the base of Amud Aleph is just like with regard to Achos Ishto, we have a principle of Nesra, and even though the reality changes and had the order been different, you know, it would have made all the difference in the world. Nonetheless, there's no going back. Nesra Sha'achas Nasra Olav Olamis. So the same is true here, meaning if at the moment of the Zika, right, she is a Nida, even though, let's say, a day later or 2 weeks later or whatever it is, she's no longer a Nida, right, we're not going to say, oh, you know, now you can do Yibum, because we don't say that in when it comes to the Psul of Achos Ishto, which is Chayde Krisus and Anerva. So we shouldn't say it about Nida, which is in Parsha Sarayos, although Tos doesn't make that point, but which is Chayde Krisus as well. That's what these words, Ein lahakshos de Nida ti aser liyavam, afal pisha metara achakach, doesn't matter, kemo achos ishto, she'ein misyavemes, afilu mesa ishto, achrechein, even if his wife, meaning the Yavam's wife, which creates the problem of Achos Ishto, dies after the beginning of the Zika, we say Nesra, so we should say Nesra here too. Wow. So if Nesra, you know, this is a question. Is this a Nesra question or a Nida question? I mean, how much does Nida have to be like Achos Ishto for this to be a good question? So you could take a very radical view here of Nesra. You could say that any time befoal, in fact, in practice, you can't do an immediate yibum, no matter what the obstacle. We don't know, we don't care why you can't do yibum immediately, or maybe if we do care, let's put it this way: if legally, if halachically, not just practically, maybe even practically, but let's say halachically, certainly, even for trivial reasons or extraneous reasons or even predictably temporary reasons, you can't do Yibum. Nonetheless, if you can't do Yibum, you can't do Yibum. That's called Nesra. And, you know, if there's no Heter Yibum, Betchilas Yibum, or Betchilas Azika, then there never is after that either. A certain perspective on Dechuya, right, might explain that, right? Or no. Or, you know, no one's going to go that far. This is a famous discussion. The Trumas HaDeshen discusses the problem of the Shumad. Let's say you have, and then he extends it to some other problems also, like Onain, which is even more of a Chiddush. You know, let's say there are other reasons why there can't be a Yibum B'Tchilas HaZika. I mean, this owning thing is like, you know, we got to push Nesra so far that you'd never have Yibum. Because every single case of Yibum, you know, deals with an owning. And an owning is Pater B'Mitzvos, you know. And it's obviously that far we don't go. But what about a Meshumad? Let's say, the status of Meshumad is a very tricky issue in general. But let's say you had a Meshumad. Let's say you assumed that, you know, there was a Meshumad who did tshuva. Either him or her or whatever it is. So it was only like a temporary problem. We just say Nasra from the Shuma. So Shuma Sadeshen has this whole discussion. In general, the status of the Shuma in Yibam is a very big discussion. Because Ki Yeshu Achim Yachtav, the question whether a Meshumad loses the status of Achba or not. And there are different cases of this. She's a Meshumad, the husband was a Meshumad, the Yavam is a Meshumad. There are Chilukim that are made. But already the Gaonim are fighting ferociously about the status, because the Maisa, there were Meshumadim, in the time of the Gaonim in the medieval period, and then, of course, throughout Jewish history. So this was a practical question, and obviously also a very emotional, halachic, question. So do you apply what we normally apply, what we call the Rashi, Tshuvas Rashi guidelines of, Yisrael, Afal Pishachata Yisrael, who, do you apply that, to Yibam, or Yibam has different standards, because of the Yisrael Shesach, or Ki Yeshuach and Yaktav, or Nasra. So the Shulchan Sadeshen connects this to the parameters of this Tosis. He obviously thinks that the Nasra issue, what about, Onein, what about Cherum Rabbeinu Gershom? Let's say, there was, the Yavam, was married to someone else. So the Drabbanan would say, because Cherum Rabbeinu Gershom, he can't be Miabim. And then he divorced her. Okay, so is that Nasra? Meaning, all I'm trying to say here is there are two issues. One issue is, how far do you push the practical aspect of Nasra? And the further you push it, and it includes other more peripheral obstacles, the easier it is to understand this Nida application. Second possibility is that what Tosis is really doing is really saying that Nida as an erva, as Chayvei Krisus, isn't just a peripheral obstacle. It's more than that. It's an aparsha with Achos Ishto, and therefore, even if it's true, what we learned from Nasra is that when you have a serious impediment, right? So even if it goes away, the Tchila Sazika is a critical moment. But it's supposed to be a serious obstacle, and then you can apply Nasra. It's not true that any, legal problem or maybe even any pragmatic problem, will trigger Nasra. Yeah.
How could you say that Rabbeinu Gershom would override Yibam if we know, even as real law?
Right. So they're just saying that if right. So,
far do you take it? Let's say the Yavam died during Spiros Omer, when they're not to get married. So you can Nasra on that too? Even with like override, right?
Yeah, no, it's strange. So a lot of the, there's a tshuva of them around Gutenberg, and as I say, there's Trumas Hadeshen. So some of them do dismiss, and the Poskim and Shulchan Aruch discuss it. Is it Tembidu Divrayim, is it a neder? What is it exactly? It's maybe it's like an ase v'lav, because it's like a neder. So it's en ase docha los ase v'yase. They discuss it. But I brought it up because they discuss it. Yitrum Sadeshin discusses it. The Maharam Rutenberg discusses it. Poskim discuss it. And some of them hold tight. The default, more normative view is like what you're saying, which is Rabbeinu Gershom is a an easy, dismissal. Probably a ninus, also, because that's obviously built in and structured in, so that's clear. But, and anything, that's either drabanan, Meshumad is an interesting case, because it is something serious, obviously, but it's not an ishus thing, per se, right? So, on the other hand, it's a Kedushas Yisrael thing.
And does the Gemara discuss
that
whether Nasra would apply to
Tzara
as well?
So that's the question. So the Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos, I'm not going to get to it right now, the Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos, Daf Lamed, Omen Aleph, seems to have two deos, whether Nasra would exclude Tzara Midaraisa or Midrabana. If you're there on the, in Yana Chazaka, you seem to have forgotten about it, but and he assumes that it would apply to Nasra, would apply to Tzara. But in Pirshei Mishnayos, I'll see if I can find it very quickly.
That would be the same question.
On Lamed Omer Aleph, I think he has like 2 days, maybe it's only a Dindra Rabbana, maybe the whole Nesra is only a Dindra Rabbana. I think he highlights it by your question, by asking about Tzara. Just 1 second. See if I can find it quickly. If not, I'm not going to bother. But I think it's on the Mishnah here on Daf Lamed. Maybe not. Yeah. Tam pneishi achos ishto v'nafa l'fan of liyibu v'ishto kayanes farnes bar shi asura olamis aval tsarasa v'atzalom anachris lo matzinu badin v'gemara. Now, he's not sure about Tzara regarding Nesra. Velo davar le'echad min ha-ga'onim. Vadin etzli ba shehi choletzes. Velo misyavemes. This is what he says in Pirush Mishnayos. He says, I think that Tzara would need chalitza. V'fishanim mesupak im asura mishum erva v'tiyat tzarasa p'tur min ha-chalitza u min ha-yibum. Is Nesra something that translates into erva, says the Rambam? Oh, Asura Olav only midrabbanan, Shamruhol v'Nesra Olav Shachas, Nesra Olamis, he kamoshia, mitzara shnia ucholatzes o mitzavemes. See, the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos is mistapek whether the whole din of Nesra is a din drabbanan or daraisa. If it's daraisa, he assumes it applies to Tzara. In Yada Chazaka, he just assumes it applies to Tzara. But that's a good question. Okay, yeah.
Is that what Tzara was talking about over here on Lamed? Because the Lamed is saying, like, why does it have to be married? Why does Levi have to be married? It could have been...
I don't want to do Lamed right now, but... Which one?
Nesra Olav Shachas.
Nesra Olav Shachas. I mean, why does it have to be in this case?
So he says, Yishev Nachris Namin Mitzvah Olav Yishev Haisev Tzara Achas Yishev Shachas.
Nachris Nami Mitzvah, if he shows it Tzaros. Oh, I mean, he said that's exactly this case.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to. I know how that Tosus discuss it too. Yeah. Oh, so then, yeah, this he connects it to the problem of what we call this, whether Misa Mapelis or Nisur Mapilin. I don't want to get into that right now. Oh, that's very important. Maybe we'll do one. If we can, we'll try to get in one share on that as well. But yeah, talk about that. Okay, so getting back to Tosas for a minute. So just to sum up, we're going to end up in a minute. Tosas asks this very remarkable question. Ramban doesn't, as I say, think it's a question, obviously. He doesn't address it even. Tosas' question is based on the paradigm of Achos Ishta and Nesra. So now let's look at the answer that he gives. So he says, Dilodami da achosisha vishara arayos ha isur omed alayabam tve mishar bnei adam. Avonida lakula alma sira. So this is Tosis's answer. Tosis basically says, achos isha is a relationship problem. Meaning, there's no din that achos ishto per se is not a pagam, somebody's a sister-in-law, right? It's the problem is that she is his sister-in-law, right? So there, this yavam, as opposed to anybody, fill in the blank, is too closely connected, is again, it's kind of incestuous or too incestuous a relationship. And as such, it's excluded in the Mishnah and it's poter tzara, and there's a din of Nesra, meaning it's a real relationship problem. However, when it comes to Nida, says Tosos, that's not his problem. Any more than it's any other person in the world's problem, or for that matter, the way some Rishonim say it, It was the Baal's problem. When the Baal was married to her, when she was in the state of Nida, there was an Isser, Maisa Bia too. Meaning, it's not a relationship question. It's just an independent Isser Bia. That's what Tosa says. But if you look at Rebbeinu Peretz, as I said before, Rebbeinu Peretz on Daf Tes, should have put this here, but I originally made up the, I couldn't find the Bar Ilan for it. Tema, this is on the mid. My area, the Tani Chameshas Rei, Lisni Sheshas Rei. That's the Gemara on Daf Tes. So on this, Rebbeinu Peretz says, Tema, listen to Nami Nida, meaning in the Mishnah, not let Nida also be an example like the cases of the Mishnah, where there's a Ptur Tzara and Afkas Chalitza and so on, but let it be part of the Mishnah. She'ena Ruiya v'shas Nefila. L'kamon v'perek Dalet Achin Amarav, Kol Yavama, She'eni Karibad, v'shas Nefila, Yavama, Yavo Aleha, Harek Eishasach, She'esh Labonim, Yasura. Same like question of Tosis, except that it's formulated as a Mishnah problem. So here's where the answer becomes. The Ishlomar, the Eino Rotza Lashanos, the Mishnah didn't want to bring cases, Elamasha Asur Lo Mutali Alma. The Nida Asur Lachol Olam. Same answer, but not therefore this rule doesn't apply, but that's the reason why the Mishnah didn't count it. The Gamnida Asura, the Kol Ha'achin, Mash Enkin B'Shar Rayos. It's our 10 brothers, the Nida is just as Asur to every single one of them. Mash Enkin, Achosishto, Chamoso, and so on, Kalaso, right? So it's the same answer, but it's not an answer why the rule doesn't apply. It's an answer why the Mishnah didn't bother to quote it, which means that lahalacha, this answer in Tosafot, many parents believes that Nesra would apply to Nida, and there would be a Ptur Tzara, an Afkas, Chalitza, etc. Okay, the next answer in Tosas, before I get to that, I should also mention, I'll try it next time. Some of the other Rishonim say this more, again, the Trumas HaDeshen, just as it's not Dumi Dachos Ishto, also, but, okay. The Rush, the Tosa Rush and Rush, when they answer this question, they add like an extra sentence. And what they say is that, after all, Nida is not really an Erva. After all, Teda, she's also Lekul Alma, including her husband. So, the Rabbeinu Tam also in Sefer Yashar, in the Tshuva, also uses the language that Nida is not an Erva. Right. His explanation, he uses it to explain, and that V'araya, all you have to do is wait a couple of weeks, and people go in and out of Erva, right? So this became like a very interesting issue. If you look at the at the Rambam, all over the place, maybe I'll bring in some of these for next time when we finish this up. Hilchos Ishus, Hilchos Isur Abia, Hilchos Isur Mizbeach. The Rambam invariably, every time he speaks about Nida, almost every time he speaks about Nida, will say, Af al pi she Nida Ervahi. The Gemara says on Mem Tes Amud Aleph here in Yevamos, we saw this when we talked about Rabbi Akiva, and in Kiddushin Samak Zayin, like Kiddushin is Tofes Bid Nida, right? And a Baal Anida, which is a terrible thing, but the Vlad is not a Mamzer, even though it's Chayvei Krisus, right? The Gemara mentions that very explicitly. So when the Rambam mentions these dinim in Hilchos Ishus and Hilchos Isur Abia, he talks about Esnan, Esnan Zona for Nida. So the Rambam, in all these cases, even where Nida is an exception, the Rambam will say, Af al pi she Nida Ervahi. Nonetheless, da 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 da. Right? Whereas the Rabbeinu Tam and Balei Tosis you know, the Rosh, again, the Rabban, their view is that even though, what they'll sometimes say is, even though Nida appears in Achrimos in the Parsha of Arayos, it's not really an Erva. It could be that there's a nice logical compromise between these two Shitos, and that is, it's very compelling to say that, you know, maybe the Maisa Bia with a Nida is a Maisa Erva, or it's an act of Gilui Arayos. It's much more difficult to say that the Nida, even Bishas Nidasa, is a Gavra Erva. Typically, when we give somebody a status, you know, it's not something that, you know, naturally waxes and wanes, you know, like that. So the Rambam always sticks to this script, you know, Afalpi Shehi Erva. Maybe he's referring only to the Maisa Gilui Arayos, or maybe he really does think, even on a Gavra level, that this is the case. Hard to know. And the Baalei Tosfos, I say, in a bunch of places. So, for example, this is a very lively discussion about the din of matzilin, right? The Mishnah says on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph in Sanhedrin that if, you know, if a person is about to commit an act of Gilui Arayos, especially, you know, forcibly, and is a victim, that, you know, matzilin oso benafsho, like you save him from himself by, if you have to, if you have no other way to stop him, like you can kill him, right? Now, obviously, only if that's, you know, no other choice. So that's a din of matzilinoso. Matzilinoso, the nafsho, doesn't apply to Shabbos, you know, applies to certain things, the rodef, obviously, but it applies to Gilui Arayos. So the question is, does it apply to Nida? Or does it only apply to the relationship type, more formal erbas? So actually, that's one question, a big question, unclear. What about Yehari Valyavar, right? The Gimel Averos, we talked about the Chai Bahem, right? Apply, you know, even Pikuach Nefesh. You know, Gilei Arayos Shekostamim Avodah Zara. So, what's included in Gilui Arayos? So, in general, this is a major debate. There are some who like have a very expansive view. There are some Gemaras that imply that, you know, that even a Panuya Bala Pnuya, you know, anything that comes under, you know, the broad, you know, guidelines of Yisurei Bia, basically, even if it's not a capital offense, you know, even if it's, you know, just a lab or maybe even an essay, there are those who hold like Abizrayu, basically, of Avodah Zarah, and Abizrayu of Gilui Arayos. But for those who take a more, you know, stricter, you know, classical view that it has to qualify as Gilui Arayos, so this is a very big question. You know, what about the some of the cases in Achrimos, you know, that are not typical, like what about Mishkav Zachar? So the Ritva, for example, says in Sachim and Daf Kapei, there are two main sugyas, really three, whatever, but of Yehari Balyavar. One is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Ayin Dalet, you know, where the Anos, you have the Anos, the guy says, you know, do this or I'll kill you. And the other one is the Gemara in Pesachim, Bakom Esrat in Chutz Me'aseh Asherah. It's about, you know, the only way to, you know, the only therapy that's going to save him is Avodah Zarah Gilui Arayos or Shvichus Damin, right? So anyway, in that Gemara, the Ritva quotes the Ra'ah as saying that, you know, Nida and Mishkav Zachar both come under the rubric of Matzilin. But in the case of Nida, he says, Afapi She'eino Erevahi, it's included under the Matzilin. The way the Mechaschinoch, when he quotes it, or he quotes the Rishonim like that, he says, oh, the, you know, whether it's included in Matzilin, that will determine whether it's really, you know, considered to be Erva. But, and the Huadin, you know, with regard to Yehari Vayav, there are those who distinguish between Yehari Vayav and Matzilin. But it's an interesting objective question. And it's a question that comes up, you know, in medical, like very practically. There's like an interesting, like, you know, there's discussions already in the Tshuva Saramban, and then in the Torah, and Shulchan Aruch, and then, you know, later the Tshuva Sarivash, and Achronim, you know, what happens when a woman is a Nida, and she needs some medical care, you know, so, you know, in terms of, you know, like, should the husband give medical care? You know, it's, again, so if it's not derech chiba, which like a doctor or something like that, it's not an issue. But where there's a problem of derech chiba, like if it's bakomas rapin chlitzme atse ashera, like is that a problem or not? Most people are mekil, because again, even the assumption is that when somebody is ill and they're sick, and that's not derech chiba, obviously. And also, you're dealing there with rabbanans, you're not dealing with, you know, or deraisa, but the lav parts, kirubas are not, you know, anyway, but it's an interesting, lively discussion, part of which overlaps this issue, whether Nida is considered to be an erev or not, because as I say, it is in the Parsha, there is krisus, you know, and at the same time, there's tfisus kedushin, and there is no mamzerus. And, you know, obviously, you know, it's a very different kind of erva, if it is an erva. And part of that is this discussion here, you know, whether or not. So what motivated the Bali? So why were they so? Because it's lemaisa to be miyadeim when she's in a state of nida is ein ase dochalos ase, it's yesh bakares. As a, for Bali Tosis to begin, the focal point is on the maisa mitzvah, you know, or kinyan or heter, whatever you want to call it, you know, of yibum. Whereas for the Chachmei Sfarad, udi imam, you know, it's more like relationship problem, like, you know, who can be, you know, a married yibama. You know, obviously that's not a problem of nida. So it's just interesting, you have to look at the Rabban, the Rebbeinu Tam and Sefer Yashar, the Rosh, the Tosa Rosh, what it is that they emphasize, you know, in this context. But there's one more, with this I'm going to conclude. Tosas then goes on to quote another shita. There are two more shitas in this Tosas. Tosas says that actually, v'afilu b'nidasa, Tosas says, mashma v'psachin sof perik el dvarim v'bas yibumi v'kom rav yochanan ishto nido bal a baal chayiv vivemto nida baal potter parachala maishno yivemto the kavid mitzvah v'chulah mashma the konila. Okay, so I'm not going to speak about this now. I'll just tell you the two other answers quickly, and then we'll finish up and speak about them next time. So the way that Tosis reads this Gemara in Psachim, and it is somewhat controversial. If you look at Tosis in Psachim, and if you go to the Rashash, they suggest a different reading of the Gemara. But the way Tosis reads the Gemara in Psachim, the Gemara seems to say that if there was Yibum with a Nida, B'diyave, it means Osir, because there's no Asa Nechalos Asa, because it's Yesh Bakares. But let's say he did it anyway. Ba'aleha v'yidma. So the way they're reading the Gemara in Psachim is that the Kinyan would be Chal. There would be Yibum. Ah, if there's Yibum b'di'evet, even though it's not l'chatchila, then of course there's no din of Nesra. Nesra means not only that it's Asur, but that, you know, if you were to go ahead in the Yadim, lo kana. So that would solve that problem. However, it raises a different question. That is, of course, in Ba'aleha, the Yibim should be kana. How could there be two deos on that? After all, isn't Kiddushin Tofes benida? So are there two deos whether or not Yibum is Tofes Benida? Why would Yibum be different than Ishus? So that's question number one. So we'll discuss that a little bit. On the other hand, right, we say Ein Ase Docha Lo Sase V'Ase, and in Ba'aleha Lo Kana, even though there's Tfisas Kiddushin, why should Nida be better than that? That's a question that the Grizz deals with in his letter that we partially read, you know, about a month and a half ago, so we'll look at that. So that we have to talk about that, this view that in Ba'aleha the Yibum would be Kona, in light of these two perspectives. And then there's a third day in Tosis, which I really want to talk about, where Tosis says, yeah, it's not a problem at all. The problem of Nasra in general is not like a fundamental problem, it's a problem of Drachel Darchei Noah. Meaning, you can't have people going in and out of Zika Liyibum. You know, it's, I guess if you were in Yiddish, you'd say, you know, it's pasnish. That's like, you know, it's just not acceptable. Like, you know, it's too messy. So what does that mean? So this idea of Drachel Darchei Noam being the basis for Nasra and being a factor in Yibum is a very fascinating thing. In the, you know, the more liberal Jews, you know, who still cared, I guess, a little bit about halacha, you know, they, you know, there were certain, like, concepts that, like, really appealed to them, you know, that they took and they ran with it. You know, this is one of them. Like, oh, Drachel Darchei Noam, you know. So anything that's, like, you know, you know, tasnished, I guess, but from their point of view, it's like, there's a heter, you know, Drachel Darchei Noam. So, but it is true that, so it's a very limited concept, Drachel Darchei Noam in halacha. It's fascinating to examine it. We're not going to have a chance to examine it fully, but at least in this context, the point I want to leave you to thinking about is, I would say that, you know, there are two areas in the Gemara, at least, in the Talmud, where Drachel Darchei Noam plays an outsized role. One is in Yibum, especially according to the Bali Tosis, and the other is in the Dalad Minim. If you look at the Gemara in Bulav HaGazel, the Gemara talks about, you know, some candidates for, like, Hadassim, right, exactly, when you hold them, they're like thorns, you know, it's going to bloody your hands, so like, that can't be, you know, one of the Minim, Drachel Darchei Noam, you know. So it's just interesting, like, where do they apply it in the Gemara, and where don't they apply it, and what's the pattern? So I want to talk about that a little bit, and then I want to skip to Yud Aleph and talk about Sota a little bit, and then we'll do some stuff about Chalitza.